Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
Hi, I'm George Winham in the West.
And this is East West Audio Body Shop. Well, episode 117 of EWABS is going to be another great one. In my tip of the week, I'll be talking about mic choice. Does it really matter?
And I'm going to be showing an amazing demonstration we did on Soundstreak.
Woo!
As well as having Yoni Slotweiner from Soundstreak on the show live to take your questions. So tune in on Monday, 6 o'clock in the West.
9 o'clock in the East. And we'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I am Dan Leonard in the East.
And I am George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, good evening, everybody. Here I am in Buffalo, and you know what it's doing outside? Yes, it's snowing.
Beautiful.
It's starting to pile up on the leaves. And the best part is when the Japanese maple drops its leaves on top of the snow.
Right.
That's always a good one. So I guess it's officially the winter season, considering it was like 70 degrees last week.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? But I don't want to talk about the weather. I want to talk about all sorts of other stuff, like home studio stuff. And where were you last night that you were recording that promo? And everybody's thinking that...
phoning it in, literally.
You literally did there.
Well, I'll tell you, it was just one of those weeks, man. I just felt like I was putting out fire after fire this week, like from technical standpoint. This or that, my own technical issues and my own studio clients. It was just one thing after the other. And we recorded the promo, and our audio's pitch ended up being like one-third higher than normal, which has never happened before. So I was like, I don't have time now, and Dan's here, and Dan's traveling. You were didn't you go out of town for a day during the weekend?
We went to Washington for the day.
Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C.
I'm assuming, okay.
Yeah, actually, Northern Virginia.
Right. Reston or something, yeah.
Well, near there, right?
Yeah.
Falls Church.
So, I mean, you know, there was a lot going on this weekend. So anyway, I went to this amazing event, the one we talked about with James Arnold Taylor. It was called Talking to Myself, and it was a fundraiser for the Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab. And, you know, there's a few voice actors out there who do these one-man shows. But this one-man show is the one-man voiceover show to end all, because the production was unbelievable. He had custom-made animation that he had made for the show. And within that hour or so show, he did 200 voices. Just incredible. But afterward, a bunch of us got to hang out afterward, and we were all sitting around a dinner table, and right off camera, well, first of all, the guy holding the camera is Joe Cipriano.
Yeah.
He said, just do a promo right now. I was like, I gotta get going. I gotta do a promo. He's like, just do it now. So he pulls out his iPhone, and then right off to his side, there is Scott Rummel and his wife, Randy Thomas. And James Arnold Taylor. They're all sitting there. Ryan Stevenson to my left. And Townsend Coleman. Like, all these people are at the table. And I'm like, okay, I'll just rattle this off, see what I can do. I have to say, they're a little impressed. So I taught you well.
What can I say?
Yeah, all this practice can't hurt. But it was fun. So that's why that promo was phoned in.
Okay, well, it worked anyway, sort of.
Well,
we have another great show for you tonight. We'll switch things up a little bit again. We're trying to find out what works best. And I think what works best is not knowing what we're going to do when we hit on air.
Right.
We actually plan this stuff. We actually know what we're doing. We've got a great show with, because we're going to do a demo tonight of some technology that each and every one of you keeps asking about, and how does it work, and how is it going to help us as voice actors in our home studios, which, by the way, is what this show is all about.
Right.
So we've got Yoni Slotweiner from from SoundStreak, who will be joining us a little bit later. But we have a full demonstration of how SoundStreak works. So don't go anywhere, because that's going to be really good.
Yeah, and let's make sure we don't forget to thank our sponsors. This is something we want to work in the beginning of the show. We'd love to thank Harlan for supporting the show. Harlan Hogan of VoiceOver Essentials. VoiceOver Extra, John Florian. You guys have been there all since the beginning, and we really appreciate the support.
And now
Edge Studio, which is my company now, and VO Studio Tech. We're all helping to bring the show to you. And, of course, Dan Leonard's own home studio master and VO Studio Suit. We're all here to bring the show to you every week. So thanks to all of our sponsors.
Right. And if you want to be a sponsor, if you have somebody who think would be a good sponsor, ewebshop@gmail.com.
That's right. Maybe we could even have people sponsor one episode. We could have one episode be brought to you by one of you guys, one of our viewers. So
that's true.
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Well, let's get into the meat of the matter. We're going to start off with my tip of the week. This is a question that is asked over and over and over and over and over again about microphones. If I hear what's the best microphone for voiceover one more time.
That actually came up in the voiceover bulletin board. Somebody said, is there a microphone made for voiceover? Right.
Well, there actually is one.
Well, there's one. There's one.
There's one, and he happens to be our sponsor.
That's right. There is one. There's only one right answer to that question. But beyond that.
Yeah. Let's roll out my tip of the week, and we'll discuss afterwards. Every week, I see and hear the same question. What's the best microphone to use for voiceover? What's going to make me sound the best? What mic should I use? This one, or this really expensive one? Well, the fact is, does it really matter? Last week, our good friend Paul Stewart Quirta had a great blog about this. And he compared two different mics. Let's listen in and see what that sounded like.
100, 200, 300, 300, 400, 400.
Like I told Paul, they both made him sound like Paul. The fact is, one was a $1,700 German Geffel microphone, and the other was a little shotgun $150 Russian-made microphone, an Octava. But they sounded pretty much the same. Yeah, there were little differences. But the truth is you don't need the greatest microphone out there to sound really, really good. Of course, as I always say, it's more important what your acoustical signature is. But let's take this a step further. Let's listen to six different microphones. Yeah, they probably all sound a little bit different. But let's listen and see what you think. Okay, here's what we did. I have six different microphones. I set them up completely the same, using the same interface, a Focusrite iTrack Solo, recording onto my MacBook here. And I stood the same distance from each one of them and used the exact same level. Okay, now listen carefully. 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place to those who gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here, dedicated to the great task
remaining before us. That from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
All right, the last one was, indeed, Franken mic, which was a homemade ribbon mic, but doesn't sound too bad. It certainly doesn't sound the same as the others. With all of those six different mics, you could hear that I sounded a little bit different on each one of them, but none of them changed my performance at all. Whether that was good or bad is up to you to decide. But the fact is, no matter what mic you choose, that's over a certain price range, say over $250 of a regular condenser mic, is probably going to fit the bill for you. And the fact that somebody is using a Neumann U87 or a TLM-103 or, you know, maybe even a USB mic if it's got a good preamp in it, nobody's going to know which mic it is, and nobody hires you based on the type of mic you're using. Clearly, there are some that sound really, really good, and you want to have the best one possible. But when you're just starting out or you're trying to keep things on a budget, you can do pretty well with one of these other medium-priced mics. And that's my tip of the week.
No, I thought add a little effect. You know, it's fun.
Okay. Redo the opening for that one of these days. I haven't done one of those in a while.
Getting back into the groove.
That one sort of just happened. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody has an opinion on it. And which one did I sound best on? There's a difference between sounding good. Now, clearly, Franken mic sounded like crap compared to these modern condenser mics,
right,
which is why I was trying to show. But there you can definitely tell it. It's a different type of microphone.
Yeah.
But one of the mics was an Electrovoice 666, which is about 50 years old.
That was not so different. That was not so obvious.
No, you know, and that sounded pretty good because it was an old professional broadcast mic from about 1960. And, you know, and then I had, you know, the Caddy 100S,
mm-hmm,
and my TLM-103 and the Sennheiser 416. Now, clearly, the 103 and the 416 both sound really, really good. They're clean. They're quiet. There's no background noise to them.
Yeah.
I tend to think the 103 tends to put a little bit of bottom end on there that I would, you know, sometimes I can roll that off a little bit in post. But they all are workable. And then there was the 3035, my AT3035.
Yeah.
And the
Caddy 100S was in there,
and
too?
And the 100S was in there, too. That was actually the third mic that was in there.
Yeah.
But the thing is I really don't believe that people hire you for the mic you're using, unless they're specifically hiring you for one specific job. But I don't think that's the case with the majority of us out there.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing promo work, yeah, you probably should be using a 416, but you can get away with a 103. I just don't understand why people use a U87 or one of these really expensive mics. It's not designed unless you have a really acoustically sterile place where nothing gets in and you're not allowed out. They have to slide you meals under the door once in a while. that you really don't need a mic that is that expensive because it is not going to change the quality of your talent or your read in any way, shape, or form.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
I rest my case.
I rest my case.
Your case.
I completely agree. When your studio is tuned to, you know, to the nth degree, when it's about as 95% as good as you're ever going to get it, you'll start to notice these subtleties between the mics. When your technique is really consistent, your mic positioning and mic technique becomes really, really consistent, and you've kind of mastered all that. Yeah, these subtleties start to reveal themselves. But man, I'll keep you speaking these generalities, but 95% of your clients are not going to hear the difference. The only ones that are going to hear it are that small 5% of clients that are hiring actual audio engineers. God rest in peace, you poor audio engineers. There's so many that are not getting work anymore because the sound of your voice is going straight into a video editing bay. And there's never even an audio engineer listening to what you're doing closely. So, you know, it's you're not going to impress people with an expensive mic.
Yep.
Just aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. Doug Turkel is saying, you know, I do all my promo work on a 103, you know, and I've been using a 103 for years. I bought a 416. Chris Currier is loving us. You know, all of you guys have been buying 416s, and there's a reason for that. It's a great mic. Yeah. I think that, you know, as time evolves and, you know, styles change and things like that, different mics are going to come in and out of vogue. But I think it's still going to be what's going to deliver the cleanest, clearest sound that represents the actual sound of your voice and let somebody else manipulate it. The idea, again, and we say it over and over and over again, the idea of a home voiceover studio or any voiceover studio is not to make you sound fantastic. It's to make you sound like you because you already are fantastic.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I like to say when I put a little bit of extra spice on there that I like to do, it's like you, but a little better. That's what I kind of like to say. You know, it's just, it's you with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of extra makeup on that day, you know, kind of thing. When you were talking about early EQ, we'll wrap this up real quick, but when you were talking about EQ earlier, how you may roll off the bottom end a little bit.
Right.
I mean, for me with microphones, if you find yourself having to do much more than a little bit of roll off at the bottom, and maybe a little bit of something at the top end to get a little sizzle. If you're finding yourself having to do a lot more EQ than that to make that mic work with you, then maybe it's not the perfect mic for your voice. Maybe it's got either something technically wrong with it, or it's a mic that has a really kind of weird voicing to it. You know, and some mics are voiced and tuned differently, so they accentuate other frequencies. But right. Most of the mics that we have found that work well, most of the mics Dan mentioned, save for the ribbons, and the mics that we've all talked about, they're all tuned to be mostly neutral with a minimum of odd coloration. So you should not have to do much EQ at all.
Exactly. All right. Well, we've got a related topic. We've got a great demo coming up with SoundStreak, and Yoni Slotweiner from there will be joining us a little bit later on to answer your questions about it. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back with that after this. Don't go away.
Welcome back to eWabs. We were expecting you, but we still didn't bake a cake. Here's Dan and George.
Okay. And we're back. And boy, it's sure is fun doing the show, and it is so much fun to see how many people are watching the show live. It was when we changed to Monday night, the audience sort of dropped off a little bit, but now it seems to have recovered. There's a lot of people watching live. We love people watching the show live. I know a lot of people watch the show on YouTube afterwards.
Sure.
But I think it's so much fun to see you guys in the chat room and interact with us and be there. It's sort of like being at a party.
Absolutely. It makes it a lot more dynamic for us, keeps it lively. It doesn't feel like we're just talking into a vacuum when we have you guys over there in the chat room. So thanks for joining us every week. We really appreciate all you guys.
Yes. Also, if you want an East-West Audio Body Shop clicker, these things work. There we go.
I promise, after the show, after I get Ella to bed, I'll come back into the studio and I will put the little PayPal link on the page and you guys can buy these for, what did we say, $5?
Five
with shipping.
With shipping. So free shipping.
There you go.
And then you can have your very own. You can order as many as you want because we have a lot of them.
Yeah, we've got a good bit of them in stock.
Yes. Well, why don't we roll this demo and we'll totally explain what Soundstreak is all about, and then Yoni Slotweiner will be with us and we'll answer your questions. And so why don't you roll that beautiful bean footage?
Here we go.
All right, we're with Yoni Slotweiner with Soundstreak. Yoni, welcome to East West Audio Body Shop.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, George. So Soundstreak is, you know, a collaborative remote recording software, and that's how we pitch it. It's mostly aimed for the voiceover industry. It allows you to do a remote session over the internet. And there's two sides, the production side and the talent side. It actually records locally on the talent side and then transfers it automatically to the production side, so we're able to get studio quality, full resolution audio up to 24-bit 96K. I mean, like you'll see in the demo, there's all kinds of cool features added, and it kind of just automates the workflow, so everything is quick and easy and painless.
The way it should be.
It should be. I mean, yeah, we need to evolve. We need to evolve past ISDN. I mean, it's a workflow that a lot of, especially union productions and Hollywood productions, have gotten accustomed to. And I get it because they made the investment in the equipment and the training and all that stuff. But, you know, that's people, we've been using that for 15, 20 years. And
we have a lot of clients who, of course, are not union shops. We're not doing big network things. We're doing other things. We're a client for a local commercial or regional commercial, and they want to be able to listen in on it. And instead of a phone patch, they have this system, which, of course, is far, far better than a phone patch.
Right. You know, for people using ISDN, they're still using it. They're used to it. That's fine. But we all know it's on the way out. So we're kind of trying to get ahead of that curve and offer something that's going to be there even for the people who still use ISDN, insist on still using it. It's there for them now to check out and to slowly kind of adapt to. And for those who don't have ISDN or the ability to remote record, this is a really really easy, simple to use way to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just start with the demo.
Let's show how it works. Let's get it configured so everybody can see the process of uploading the assets and all that stuff.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. So the first thing you want to do is just go up to begin session on the production side.
Okay.
And then you want to just enter the billing reference, the session name, choose the audio format and resolution.
All right. So I'll put in EWABS for billing reference. And session name, UABS demo. Wave format will be fine. We'll just do 44.1 16-bit mono.
Cool.
I've got my audio file set or folder set already. Looks good.
Cool. So then under select available talent, you just want to type in Dan's name. You can even just type in Dan.
Oh, cool. And it just immediately fills in select available user.
It shows up there. Yeah. So you just select his name and hit continue.
Ooh, accept invitation.
There you go.
All right.
Awesome.
All right. So you should be hearing me on both ends now.
Try it again, Dan. It just went live just now.
Okay, there we go.
Whoa, cool.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so that since we're doing a Skype and Soundstreak thing, there's going to be a little bit of feedback. So maybe you guys should just take down all the levels on Soundstreak for now.
Sure.
Until we play back.
I could just mute Skype.
Or mute Skype. Yeah, I guess one or the other.
See, now I can...
But if you mute Skype, Yoni won't hear anymore, Dan. Can't do that.
Oh, Bummer. That's true. Yep.
So let's just... I'll just go to my levels, and I'll turn down the talk... The listen back or the backing?
The listen back will be the voice patch audio. So
got it. Yeah. All right, I turned it down.
Cool, and Dan?
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3.
There you go.
Read you loud and clear.
Sounds good on my end.
Okay, great.
Proceed.
Okay. So, all right, so if we were talent and production, George being the production end of this, he would send me a script. Or a video with a script, or...
Sure, yeah. Well, the first thing I usually like to do during demos is just do a wild take. So before we upload a script and a video, just kind of... Because a lot of people don't actually record to video nowadays.
Right.
So I just want to show that
almost
you can just record wild.
Sure. Okay.
Again, as you can see on the talent end, it's extremely easy, simple to use. There's not much going on. You pretty much just have to log in, accept the invitation from production, set your mic level, and that's about it. You don't have to press record. You don't have to press stop. You don't have to do anything. Just do the read, and everything is handled on the production side.
I like it.
All right, so I'll hit record.
All right,
I'm recording Dan.
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004.
Do you see recording levels normally on this end while he's talking?
No, so on the production end, you don't see the levels moving during the recording itself.
Got it.
There is some limitation there because the recording is actually happening on the talent end. But you will see, once you play back the high resolution take, you'll see full meters. And one thing we did add, however, during the recording, it is what we call remote clip indication. So on the production and on the talent end, if the talent side clips during the recording, both sides will be notified immediately.
Oh,
so
wow.
You know that there's potentially some distortion in that take, and you can maybe redo the take or
right.
whatever you need to
That's
do.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So I just recorded a take. I hit stop, 30 seconds ago.
Right. So what just happened basically is it recorded on the talent end. It immediately transferred a low-resolution version of that file to production.
Uh-huh.
Production can either play that back, or they can transfer the high-resolution take by hitting yes under the transfer column.
Okay.
In the take list.
So if I play this back right now, we'll hear the low resolution.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's see what happens.
All right. Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004.
Cool.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, it's like AM radio. It's just enough to get a feel for what the read was like.
Exactly. That's all it is. And then you could have, while that was playing back, you could have hit yes. There's no limitation with the transferring. You can transfer it while listening back to the previous take. You can transfer it while you're recording the next take. Pretty much transfer it during the session at any time.
Cool. Yeah, so I could be playing
All
Dan,
right.
and I can click Yes Transfer.
Okay.
And
testing
it's transferring.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1001, 1002,
cool.
1003, 1004.
Right, so while it's transferring and you're playing back, it's still going to play back the low-resolution version. As soon as the high-resolution version arrives, when you hit play, it's going to play back the high-resolution version.
Oh, wow, that's slick. So it just automatically swaps the files out. You don't
That's
even have to
it.
Think
yeah,
about it.
When the high res is there, there's no point of listening back to the low res anymore.
Cool.
So.
Well, I recorded it for quite a while. I forgot to hit stop, so the file's pretty big. So it's coming over right now, but it's about two-thirds of the way. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, you can just keep on working.
Right.
Exactly.
And actually, right.
I want to just remind everyone that we are also using Skype at the same time, so that's probably
yep.
why it's taking a bit longer to transfer.
Yeah, we're putting a lot of load on our network right now because we're sharing Skype and all that stuff.
Yeah. Now, I could take this and put it over in my studio. I mean, I'd go into my booth with this and change the input, and then we could actually get my actual studio sound without my dog barking.
Yeah, right. We could try that. And also keep in mind that my download speed is being limited by Dan's upload speed, obviously. So... Whatever is slowing his upload speed on his end will affect my download speed. So obviously,
right.
you have to think about it on both ends.
Uh-huh.
Details.
Let's see. So let me see
also,
what happens.
Also, if you notice in the take list, there's an option called auto transfer. So if you hit that on the production side, it'll just automatically transfer the high resolution version as soon as a take is done recording. So
right.
if someone knows they just want to keep all the takes, don't want to bother listening to the low resolution versions, just hit that and it'll just transfer every take.
Makes okay. total sense. Well, I'll play back the high resolution version.
All right. Okay. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 1001, 1002, 1003, 1004.
Well, it's about as high resolution as we're going to get with an old ribbon mic that has a little buzz to it.
Right.
But, Dan, how hard would it be for you to switch into your booth?
No problem at all. Let me just change input.
So, Dan, you're in the studio now. Let's see what that sounds like. I'm going to hit record.
Okay.
Give me a level test.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Here I am in my booth, Sennheiser 416, surrounded by studio suit, by the way. And that's a test.
Cool. So I'll stop. And so my new take always floats to the top, right, Yoni?
Yep, that's right.
And it all automatically highlights it. So if I hit play, it's going to play back the low res.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Here I am in my booth, Sennheiser 416, surrounded by studio suit, by the way. And
now I'm going to play it back at high res.
That's a test.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Here I am in my booth, Sennheiser 416, surrounded by studio suit, by the way. And that's a test.
That still sounded like the low res to me.
Over Skype it did. But to me it sounded totally different.
Okay, cool.
So I'm hearing the full res. Yeah, so that's so cool how it seamlessly goes from playing the low res file to the high res file as soon as it's done downloading. If you hit stop and hit play again, that is really slick. I mean, these are the little things that even training videos, like you guys did a really, really nice production on your training videos, by the way. Good job on that, Yoni.
Thanks.
And Dave Cavassier does the VO, which I think is awesome.
Yeah, he's great. He's helped to us.
But these little nuances are, you know, don't always get covered in a demo like that. And that's why we wanted to do this, because it shows some of the slick, just shows how you guys thought of so many details already in this version, which is only 1.1.
Yeah, you have no idea. We've been working on this very hard. Every little thing that anyone tells us, we take into huge consideration. We've taken advice and suggestions from many people, and we put a lot of time and effort into this.
I mean,
obviously, this is this is designed for voiceover, and the general logical progression of how a voiceover session should work, and it's very, very easy, especially from the talent end here.
Oh, for sure, yeah, and that's why talent especially just absolutely love this, because it's super easy for them. They don't need to get too technical. They just open it up and just, you know, do the read, and they can just at the end of it move on to their next project. You know, at the end of this, there's no need to FTP anything. It's just everything is where you want it to be. At the end of the session, production already has all the high resolution takes, so talent doesn't have to worry about it.
One question,
even better.
Yeah, one question I had. So let's just say, we finished the session. Everybody's happy. Cool. But let's say, you know, it was a long session. It was a half hour continuous recording. So we got a really big file. So that's, you know, creeping over the network as quickly as it can. It's uploading. But I have another session. I have to go to the next session. Can I go to the next session and have that file still uploading in the background?
Right. No, at this point, you can't do that. At this point, you need to wait for everything to finish before you can actually exit the session. You need to choose yes or no for every take that you recorded, and every take that you choose yes for has to be fully transferred.
Okay.
In the future, you know, we have thought about that and we're looking into ways around that.
Yeah.
But at the moment, you have to kind of just finish the session before you can move on to the next one.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
however, on the talent end, you know, like I said, they are saving the FTP time. They're saving the post session time that they would, you know, all the stuff that they would do after a session using another technology. They're saving here because once the session is over, they can just move on, and not have to think about the session anymore.
Yeah, they can go back to their email or scheduling or get on the phone or whatever else they have to do, and just let SoundStreak just finish its work in the background.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that added feature would, I'm sure, would be something in your back of your minds to implement, but I'm sure it'd be much more complex. So we'll look for that in version 2 or 3, maybe.
We need to see how you upload a script on here so that the talent can see a script.
Yeah, so I'll click new script.
So you'll go up to Script and Asset Manager at the top.
Yeah, Script and Asset Manager.
So first thing you have to do is actually upload, and this can be done before the session, so you don't actually have to worry about it during the session. But first thing you have to do is upload the video and the script to our server.
That's right. So upload asset to server.
Yep.
Click that.
Down. And the cool thing about this is that once you upload it to our server on this account, it's not actually on the computer that you're uploading it from.
Uh-huh.
It's on our server. It's on the cloud. So whichever computer you do a SoundStreak session from on this account, you'll be able to use these assets.
Oh, cool. So can I upload the zip file, or do I need to upload individually each text and movie file? How does that work?
Oh, so there's two tabs at the top there. There's one for video audio, and there's one for script.
Oh, okay.
So for the video audio, you'll need to upload the .mov.
Got that.
And from the script, it's the .txt.
Okay, so it's uploading the asset now. And scripts on server. Would you like to load it for use now? Sure.
So there you go. So once you hit yes, it's going to load it to this actual session.
All right, I'm going to upload the script. And there's the script. So again, you would do this. You would not do this. If I was the producer, I would be doing this before the session, before I get the client on the line.
Right, exactly. And you can actually also do this from the user portal on our website. If you go to our website and log into the user portal, there's a section for backing assets. So you can, you know, just from your browser, upload multiple videos and scripts to your account. And then since, like I said, it's in the cloud, when you log into the soft to the client, to the application, it will be there.
Okay.
Cool.
And how about seeing a script here? I see the video clip.
Yeah. So I need to click new script, or no, I have to do, let's see. Let me go back.
Did you load the script to the session?
Oh, you know what? Yes, there it is. It says scripts on server. Load script
right, okay,
for
so, yeah,
session.
So just click that script and load it for the session, and Dan should be able to see it on his end.
And there it is.
Cool.
An HBO special event. The voice of a diva.
Cool.
That's right.
So
cool.
Now...
So one cool thing about the script that I like to show people is that you can actually edit it in real time. Well, semi-real time.
George,
You just really have to click one button that says update talent. So if you just maybe type in, you know, another line to the script, or maybe make an edit to the script somehow.
Okay, I'm doing it now.
And then hit update talent at the top. Dan should be able to see those changes immediately on his end.
And I do.
So that's one cool thing about this. You can edit the script in real time. You can actually have multiple scripts open. You can add a tab. You can remove a tab. So you can have different variations of a script if you need to. You can have different scripts, because you can also upload multiple backing assets. So if you have, let's say, five different videos that you want to work to, you can upload five different scripts to match those videos as well.
Oh, cool. And they're just tabs at the top here.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, excellent. And you can just, it's just a dynamic text window. You can just go in there and type anything and just click update, and then they'll see it.
That's right. Yeah, you can type it in. You can copy and paste directly into the window. You can upload it like you did. All three of those ways.
Okay,
work.
Cool. Shall we see what happens when I roll this, Dan? You want to try it without a rehearsal? Just see
sure.
what happens?
Sure.
All right. Here we go.
The voice of a diva. The legs of the dancer. The epic journey of one woman's transformation. For the first time ever.
Oh, it feels good to let it all go.
Tracy Ullman live and exposed.
Hold that for me till the end of the show.
You've never seen her like this.
Ooh, cold in here, isn't it?
Awesome. Good choice for a... So yeah, so the clip indicator popped up. Yeah, look at that.
Right.
There's
so,
a little
dot.
That
must mean that Dan's level is a bit hot.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right, well I can turn it down.
How cool is that? That is really
cool. The voice of a diva. The legs of a dancer.
So I'm playing it back. It's low res, and I'm transferring the high res file. Oh man, this is so cool. I really get this. I mean, it makes me want to be a producer now, because this is so freaking easy.
Yeah, you know,
I know how hard it is to do in Pro Tools.
I've been focusing on how easy it is for the talent to use. It's actually also extremely easy for the production side. There's, you know, not too much to do either. You just have to press record, press stop and play, and basically just make decisions about which take you want to transfer.
Yeah.
Like that.
So I just put a note that Dan clipped on this take in the remarks
column. And those notes actually will not be seen by Dan, by the talent side. Those notes are exclusively for the production side.
And here's what it sounds like in the mix.
The voice of a diva. The legs of a dancer. The epic journey of one woman's transformation for the first time ever.
Good to let it all go.
Tracy Ullman live and exposed.
Hold that for me till the end of the show.
You've never seen her like this, literally.
Cold in here, isn't it?
That's so cool. And the fact that I can grab faders and turn up Dan's take and back down the backing track.
Right, yeah, that's what one thing I was going to say, too, is you have flexibility with mixing for both the talent and the production side. The talent can also make their take lower or louder. The backing asset, they can control the volume of and you can also control the volume of the voice patch, which in a normal session, unlike this one, you would be communicating through the built-in voice patch. So the listen back fader is to control that volume.
Right, yeah, exactly. I'm keeping it down because we're on Skype, but normally I'll be hearing Dan through there. Wow.
Do you have any other, maybe from either of you, any questions about the interface, any buttons that you're not sure about?
Talent info, if I click that, it pops open a very small window, just giving me basics about the talent, so Dan's phone number.
And production, the exact same thing.
Yeah, and that all depends on the info that either side puts in. You can go to preferences and put in your telephone number and all that stuff. And you can also do that from the user portal.
Very cool.
I have the open take folder button. I click that and bam, there's the WAV files.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for both of you, it's on your computer already, obviously, because it recorded on the talent side, so it's going to be present there. But for George, also on the production side, it's going to be available on his Finder window right away.
And I can just go there and I can just click and drag and drop the file in TwistaWave and...
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Here I am.
You know, full quality.
That's right. And not only that, at the end of the session, which hopefully we'll get to see too, when you end the session, the production side gets a session summary email to their email.
Well, let's do that
with details about the session, and they actually have that email actually has links to each of the individual high resolution takes that you transferred.
Okay, awesome.
So
well,
if you need to maybe forward that email to another engineer, another studio, you know, anyone else on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
If someone needs those takes, you can just forward that email to them, and they can just download those takes straight from the email.
I see there's also punch in, punch out points. So if it's a long script or something, or you really just have to pick up a line, you can set an in and out point. That's really cool.
Exactly.
Geez. Yeah, I mean, it's all very logically laid out.
Certainly easy from my end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me end. Can I end the session then? And then we'll just wrap the session and then we can wrap up the demo.
So actually, that's another thing that I want to mention. The production side, since everything has to be transferred before you can end the session, the production side has to end the session.
Right.
So George has to pick yes or no for each take, transfer the takes that he wants to transfer, and then when he ends the session will be disconnected. So talent actually can't end the session until production does.
Gotcha. Okay, so I'll click yes, and I'll enter a new name. What is the name? What am I naming? Gotcha. I'll continue without saving. Okay. So it even lets you save a new version of the script.
Yep, cool. Exactly. Yep.
Do I want to start a new session? Well, for now, I'll just say yes, just so you can see what happens. But, okay, so then within a few minutes or so, that report will get sent over?
It should be there already if you check your email.
There it is. Yeah, that was fast.
Yeah,
that was really fast.
Automatic and right away.
Let me show what that looks like to everybody so they can see it on the screen. Slick. Man, that's really slick.
So now also if you go to the to the user portal, you're going to have that session. You're going to have the session details there, and also links to each of the takes from the user portal. So at any point on any computer, you can just, you know, go into the browser and download those takes and see that session, see the details about it, everything you need.
Nice. Recent sessions, production, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, I mean, the only thing we had to do was check a firewall setting on Dan's computer and turn it off. And we were back in business, and it took very little hoop jumping to make this thing work. It was very, very painless. So
easy as pudding.
It was very easy. So thanks a lot. Dan, you have anything else?
No, I'm impressed. I've been waiting to see a good demo of this and participate in it. And now I can see that it's really simple, and we just have to get the producers to buy into it. And,
exactly.
Right, yeah.
And make it available to us, because I have an account and it's easy to set up an account. And if they set up an account, it certainly is a lot easier than ISDN and a lot less expensive.
We demoed this on Mac, but it's running on Windows 7.
It runs on Windows 7 and 8.
Okay, cool.
And it's cross compatible. So if Dan was on Windows and George was on a Mac, it still would work together.
It would matter. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That's slick, yeah. All right. Thanks again, Yoni. We really appreciate it.
Good luck in the future with this product.
Thank you very much.
Wow. Cool, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, we were so amazed with how, you know, this particular demo that we did with Yoni worked out really, really well.
Yeah.
And you can see how easy it is to use this. And we've got lots of questions from you guys to ask for Yoni. He's going to be joining us in just a minute. So don't go anywhere, because we'll answer all of them.
Super.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
Now back to EWABS with Dan and George.
No, it's George and Dan.
No, it's not. It's Dan and George.
George and Dan.
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 George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan. Dan.
All right.
That's fun. Absolutely.
Boy, do we have a lot of questions here. Let's welcome to East West Audio Body Shop Yoni Slotweiner. I almost said Sloney Yotweiler, but... Which
it's
I'm
a
sure
tough name,
can.
I know. It's a tough name.
Thanks for joining us.
How you guys doing?
Good. Where are
no
you,
problem.
Man?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York right now.
Brooklyn.
Oh. Yeah, Brooklyn, all right.
Yeah, holding it down.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got lots of questions for you from our voluminous amount of our viewers here. We'll start off with one of the guys who really asks great questions, because he's one of the top guys in the biz, J.S. Gilbert. Does the talent get a copy of the recording on their end, or is it just a temp file?
John, absolutely do get a copy of the recording on their end. It actually records on the talent end, so, you know, at the end of the session, every single take is already on their computer.
Right on. Yeah, so you establish a folder where all the files land.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's a folder, and the low res and the high res takes are in there.
Oh, really? Interesting. Both the low and high. Yep. Are they in two different folders, or are they all intermingled?
They're in two different folders, but they're under the same kind of, you know, top folder, I guess.
So you can go in there and just delete all the low res stuff if you don't need it or whatever.
Sure, yeah. If you don't need it, you can delete it. You can delete the high res if you don't want it. It's just for you to kind of
Can you think of a reason why you'd want to keep the low res files?
Probably not. I can't think of any.
I actually can't really think of one.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm sure they, you know, eventually they could just add a checkbox that says delete the low-res files or something, you know.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
All right, cool. What's up? Well, we got DVox, and he says, how does the price compare with Source Connect? And I can answer that, too, because I deal with Source Connect a lot. But, Yoni, on your own, so right. What is it price out to for the studio or the producer who's running the session?
So it's actually on a session-by-session basis. It's $24 a session.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no big investment, and that's only on the production side. There's no big investment for the software or anything. You kind of just download it. The account is free. The download is free. And for talent, everything is free. So production, if they want to use it with the talent, production just has to put their credit card on file, and whenever they do a session, it's just $24 off their credit card.
Gotcha. And that's for up to 30 minutes?
Yeah, it's $24 per 30 minutes.
30 right. minutes, okay. Cool.
But, we had to kind of come up with a limit to the session, and we thought 30 minutes was kind of fair for all different kinds of sessions.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Suzanne Roberts asks, why would a studio keep paying? Because it works?
I know, good question, but I think that's self-evident. Like, I guess she's saying, why would you want to keep paying over and over? Well, I mean, that's the way it works. Like other services like ISDN, the studio would be paying for the per minute charge of dialing to the talent, which often is more than $1 a minute, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you pay for studio time. If you use a studio, sometimes it can be in the hundreds of dollars per hour. If you're doing an ISDN session, you're paying by the minute, and if someone's hiring a studio to do an ISDN session, it's the studio rate plus, usually $100-$150 for the ISDN. We think 24, and think of it, it's not a product, it's more of a service. So, we think $24
right.
for the service and, 30 minutes of a session of session time is quite low and quite fair.
Dan, shall I go next? Oh yeah, well,
I get the next one.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Anthony. Right. Anthony interjected one though. Do you want to get that
that's
one?
True. We'll get to that one in a second. Okay. Let's see here. You keep throwing things in the way here. Oh, Randy K asks, is there a tutorial to see how to run it through your audio chain? I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's input output.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
right. There are tutorials online. I actually made them myself. They're on our website. Of how it's not exactly how to run it through your audio chain because everyone's going to have their own specific setup and we can't really do a global thing of how to set it up with your exact chain.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much the equipment that you have and use already. It pretty much connects to it. So you just go onto SoundStreak. There's an input and output. And it just sees your device, and you just have to select it, and your signal will come through.
All right, and Steven,
and if anyone has specific questions about their specific setup, if they can't get it to work or anything like that, they can always email us at support@soundstreak.com, and we would love to.
That's the beauty of software like this. It's a service. It's not a software, so you're getting the service. As talent, you're getting free service, right? So it you can't beat that. I mean, I always tell people when they're comparing softwares or comparing computer brands or whatever, don't focus on what you're getting, but I mean, don't focus on the product itself, but focus on the support network or the service you're getting around that product. That is the end of the day is what's going to make a really big difference. So that's a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, sure.
Steven Gonzalez says, how does the cost of SoundStreak compare with the cost of ISDN for the studios? That will probably have an impact on adoption. I think we kind of talked about that a little bit already, but I think, it depends on what the studio is paying to dial out on ISDN, right?
Right, yeah, the prices of ISDN vary so much all over the country and the world, so there really isn't one answer to that question.
Yeah.
I guess I would say that SoundStreak is another tool in the toolbox, and since you don't pay for the software, a studio can just download it, put their credit card on file, right. And when they need to use it, they can just
use it. And, you know, they can do a one-time session and just pay for that one time, or they can use it more consistently. And keep in mind that not every studio, not every part of the country actually has ISDN, and some parts of the country are actually getting rid of their ISDN.
Yep.
Or other countries, for that matter.
Comes in handy there. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Anthony Voice asks, that 30 minutes that you're buying for $24, can I connect with more than one talent during that 30-minute window?
No, you cannot connect with more than one talent, but you can use up your 30 minutes. If you don't finish, if you don't use up all the 30 minutes, you can connect between the same talent and production that same day and use the remaining minutes.
Well, that's cool. So if you want to pick up and do a couple of pickups, you know, as long as it's the same work day or like 12-hour period or whatever, you can just keep
going.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, if you forget something, if, you know, if the director calls and wants something added or removed or buried in any way.
Yeah, that's nice because, like, you know, you must be thinking like, oh, God, I missed that thing and now I'm going to have to go back and pay another, you know, $24. No, you don't have to worry about that. You can just pick it up. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, JS has another one, but he always has lots of questions, and this is pretty simple. Can it do 46K or 48K, 96K, and in 24-bit? Seems like it could do just about anything.
It can certainly do that, yeah. It can record up to 24-bit, 96 kilohertz, so that means, you know, it can do 44.1, 48, 16-bit, 24-bit, and, you know, 96K also.
Jerry E. Reed says, Windows and Mac right now, any plans for Android?
Interesting question. you know, this is our 1.0 right now. Well, technically it's 1.1.
Right.
We have definitely discussed the possibility of, you know, having this available on Android and iOS in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure we'll continue to discuss it on the SoundStreak team.
Sure.
But, you know, for now we're trying to kind of run with what we have and try to make it work. And it is working.
There's a lot of questions here about the billing end of this for the producers. People are asking, you know, can there be like an unlimited subscription for larger users? How does your billing work? Do you send them an invoice? That sort of thing. How's that two questions?
Kind of normal users. Sorry?
Go ahead.
So for normal users, you know, they put a credit card on file and it kind of bills them at the end of the month. So, you know, it counts up all the sessions they do, and after a month it you know, bills them for all of those sessions.
For those doing,
you know, larger volumes, you know, 10 sessions or more or you know, more than that, a month or a week or a month or whatever, they can definitely contact us and we are cooking up some more plans for, you know, larger businesses who do more volume.
Excellent.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so this is a different question, but this is something that you guys would probably want to address at some point. Can the talent mark up the script or make any changes on the copy?
Right. So again, you know, we have lots of plans for the future. Every day we get different suggestions for things we can add and change. And we love getting those suggestions. I said in the demo, we kind of built the software around those suggestions. And that is another suggestion that we've gotten numerous times and we're taking into consideration for the near future. We're gonna start adding more capabilities on the talent end, so they can, you know, eventually even record themselves. They can change the script. They can kind of do some of the things that production does on their end. They can do on the talent end as well. But we don't have a direct timeline for when that's going to be. That's something that's, you know, in the road for the future.
All right, Paul Stroquerta asks, what needs to happen for studios to adopt this technology, and to what extent is this already happening?
Well, good question. Talent, I'll start with the fact that the talent world has accepted this with open arms. Talent love this. For production, as some people may know, they don't like change as much. They kind of, you know, they get their software, they get their hardware, and they're kind of set in their ways. So it's been a bit of a challenge for us to get them to take a look at this and try it and adapt it. But more and more every day we have production users signing up and, you know, emailing us, inquiring about it, and we're demoing it to more and more production users all the time. And we've already had several production users use it for actual sessions.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sorry, my daughter is right in the other room, but just close enough.
Well, then I'll ask the next one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Joe Nagel asks, can voiceover talent use the SoundStreak logo free on their websites to help promote the service?
Yes, they can. And actually, if you wait, I mean, we more than welcome you to do that. We're in the process of creating kind of a logo, an interactive logo that the talent and anyone who wants can put on their website. So it's kind of like a link to our website. But for sure, you know, at the moment, you can definitely, you're more than welcome to put our logo on your website.
Excellent. I think that about covers it there, George. What do you think?
I think so too.
Yoni, you were so nervous. You see, there's nothing to it.
Nothing to it. You're just talking to a couple of guys on the phone.
Yeah, we're just talking.
Yeah.
But we're so glad we were able to do this demo because everybody is very impressed by it. It does raise lots of questions. And again, I think it's probably up to us as voiceover talent to really sell this to our clients and saying, look, here's a more, I mean, there's nothing better than showing a client some cheaper way of doing something. And it's a great way to be interactive and really work well with your clients. So it's something we need to suggest to them.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely encourage talent to tell the production users that they work with about us. And we're also starting to think up ways to incentivize talent to tell production about us.
Ah.
We're still not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but you know, some sort of promotion, maybe giving talent free sessions that they can give to production.
Ah, like tokens.
Some
tokens.
Something like that. We're still not exactly sure what it's going to be.
Well, I was thinking, I was just saying to Dan, I was like, you know, the really enterprising talent that sees the advantage of this could even offer to split and or even pay for the session. Like, look, I'll pay for the session. Let me show you how good this is. Let me show you how easy this is. I mean, crazy thought, I know, but, you know, sometimes it takes, you know, a little extra effort.
Sure, yeah, you know, talent, we gave this to talent for free, but obviously they're more than welcome to.
I'll take it out of my session fee, whatever you guys want. I'll take it out of my bill, you know, whatever, you know. Like if I was a talent and I saw a tool that was this helpful, this good, and I knew that it was going to streamline things that well, I would actually, you know, if the job was paid well enough, obviously, I would be the kind of person that probably would try that, you know.
It's going to pay off in the long run, you know. In the long run, it's free for them. It allows them to do sessions from home for talent who don't have ISDN at the moment. It allows them to do that. For those who do have ISDN, they're paying, you know, a monthly fee. They're paying a minute-by-minute fee. Depends on which part of the country, again, for how much it is. But, you know, in the long run, it's a powerful tool for remote recording.
Yep. All right.
Thank you,
well, Yoni,
buddy.
Thanks for being so much for being with us tonight. It's been a real interesting demo and a real eye opener for a lot of people we can see.
Of course, yeah, it was my pleasure.
All righty.
Thanks for having me.
All righty. Yoni Slotweiner from SoundStreak. Try to get the alliteration in there. All righty. Well, we still got a little bit left to do here. You know, we still have to talk about our friend H2.
Harlan Hogan.
Harlan Hogan, VoiceOver Essentials. I think it's an appropriate week to talk about the VO1A.
Absolutely.
Which, of course, I don't have in my hand. I was talking to Harlan the other day, and I had to explain to him. He had sent me one that I tested. I really liked it, and I had been recommending it to people. And I sent it to a friend in Los Angeles to try it.
And it never came back.
It never got lost in the mail. And I'm like, I'm so afraid. I was afraid to tell him that. And he goes, I'm sure I got another one for you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, every time I get one, I end up selling it because people love this mic. So
I know.
I don't have one sitting around anymore.
Yeah, so it's a great microphone. There was a question earlier about was there a microphone that is made for voiceover, and that's the VO1A. It was designed specifically for doing voiceover. It's got a nice, even sound. It's got a great price point on it, and it's a condenser mic that sounds like a condenser mic.
And it's got nice accessories with it, too, which, you know, may not sound like a big deal, but if you have to go out and buy a shock mount,
great,
and a
shock
good
mount
quality microphone cable, you're going to easily add, you know, $50 to $80 or so to the cost of a mic. Or if it, you know, some mics cost, the shock mount costs as much as the whole mic, you know. So it's a pretty good value at, I think it's, is it $299 now?
$299. Yeah. $299. Yeah. And of course, he backs it up 100%. You don't like it?
Send it back. I know. People ask about that, especially with the headphones. Microphones and headphones. You really have to try them out and make sure you like them. And that's what's wonderful about working with Harlan, is not an issue. You know, you can always send it back if you don't like it.
That's right. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com and you can order them from there. That's actually the only place you can get them.
That's right. That's right.
So go on over there and check it out. And thanks Harlan, for being with us.
Thank you. He's a man.
Yes, he is. All right. Well, so far we're sort of on schedule.
Yeah. We don't have much left. We can we got a couple. Do we have any announcements? We got you know what's coming up next on the future shows.
Right. We want to sell the clickers a little bit more.
Yeah.
You are going to put that link on the
website. I am. I promise. I will put it up tonight. It'll be on the homepage, ewebs.com. Click here to order your clicker.
Yes. Also, you know what we haven't pushed in a long time, and we really should, and that is the East West Audio Body Shop.
Shop. Right.
Now, what's the address for that?
Well, you just go to ewebs.com. It's all right there. Make it easy on yourself. It's right on the menu. But if you like subdomains, you can go to shop.ewebs.com, and that will take you there, and you can get nifty stuff like this travel mug, which is probably my favorite product, and I've used it since we launched the products, and I've been using it pretty much every day ever since.
Right.
It's a nice product.
It's and especially this time of year when you're looking for gifts for that voiceover loved one of yours.
That's right.
There's almost everything in there. One year I gave out sweatshirts. I gave out the venerable East West Audio Body Shop
laptop case, iPad case. Yeah,
you know those are great. They've got all those, and you know, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, all those things. Show your East West Audio Body Shop spirit and go over there.
Please do, yeah.
Okay. All right. What else we got here? We have to thank our donors. Eric Aragoni.
We love you, Eric.
Eric.
You're the man.
Yeah, they probably love you at public television, too.
Yeah. Very generous. Thank you for always being there for us.
We really appreciate that. And, of course, if you need to donate to the program, which you all do, because it's not cheap to do this show, we actually have to pay for the airtime. Well, it's not airtime. It's bandwidth.
Right.
So you can go right above George's head there, and it says donate. You can click on that, and whatever feels good to you.
That's right.
And that's an interesting way to put it. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @ewabs_show, and please subscribe to us on YouTube.
Don't forget to click the like button.
Please like us. Please like us.
Because when you click like, you know, it helps people find us, and it also spreads the word automatically. Because when you like a video, it usually posts it to your Twitter feed. So it's a nice way to get the word out.
Yeah. You getting tech update?
Tech update. You know what? I actually do have a little tech bulletin. Don't everybody leave quite yet. I know you're all kind of like wrapping up because we're wrapping up. But there was one thing that came up this week that if you are using Source Connect, there's an issue with the latest Apple Airport Extreme. So if you get that new airport that instead of being like a pancake is now more of a monolith, you know, like a tower, a silo shaped one, there is some mysterious issue with that thing that will cut you off. Source Connect will stop sending audio within about 5 minutes if you're using that router. So beware. Don't just go upgrade to that router just because it's the newest, shiniest thing, because it will cause problems with Source Connect. So that's my like tech bulletin, something to look out for and make sure you don't mess that one up. For everybody else who's playing around with Mavericks, I love everybody chiming in over on the EWABS group on Facebook and letting us know about their experiences. This week has been crazy, and I've been putting out fires all left and right. I still had a chance to install Mavericks on my other boot partition on my computer, so I haven't gotten a chance to play with it. But I'd say overall, people have had pretty good success, but there's definitely some bugs. And again, never go right to the latest OS if you can avoid it. Don't go to the 10.9. Wait till it's 10.9.3 or 2 or something at least. Let them debug it for a while and let all the vendors that make your hardware and software catch up. So, important tip.
Yeah, I put Mavericks on my laptop, which is not my production computer.
Right.
Somebody just threw a snowball at me.
Get
snow.
That's a teeny snowball, but it is a snowball.
It's a snowball nonetheless. The first one of the year. And I'm going to get them back.
I bet you will.
I will.
What happened? So you put it on your laptop?
I put Mavericks on my laptop, and Twisted Wave wouldn't work on it anymore. But that was the only problem I had. And I know that Thomas is working on that. A lot of people have mentioned that they went to Mavericks and now Twisted Wave doesn't work. Yeah. I'm sure he'll fix it probably overnight as soon as it's here.
Yeah, give him a couple weeks.
Give him a couple weeks, he'll fix that. So don't go to Mavericks if that's your main production computer.
Right. No.
I am surrounded by Macs here, so I got enough backup. I was smart enough. I experimented. I tried it on the laptop first. Went, okay, it's not going over to the main frame yet. So.
Yeah, and if you're a real geek, you can back up your system, make a clone, put it on the clone drive, blah, blah, blah. There's all kinds of ways you can play with it without having to own two computers.
Let me show you.
Look what we got there.
Here we have a sample of the snow here. And,
nice.
Anyway.
All right. Go play in the snow.
Yeah, I'm going to. All right. Well, speaking about playing, we got a great couple of shows coming up over the next couple of weeks. It just doesn't stop. When was the last time we took a week off?
Well, you know, the holidays are coming. We'll get some time off.
That's true. Monday night's been a lot easier, so we've been able to do a show every week. But next week, our very, very good friend Joe Cipriano is going to be right there in our West Coast studio.
Standing right here next to me. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, he's got his new book coming out, and he's been going on his world domination tour. And don't eat the yellow snow. Not around here.
And then the 25th, we're going to do the Audio Masters Roundtable again.
Yeah, we'll have Joe Van Ripper and Cliff Zellman and Uncle Roy, who I know is still in there. Yeah, okay. Everybody know down. Now people know which one that one is.
Watch out where those huskies go, and don't you eat that yellow snow.
Right. December 2nd, we've got that recorded interview with Wes Dooley. You really do not want to miss that.
If you like microphones.
If you might, and he has got, you know, like this amazing gallery of microphones.
Museum.
It's a museum.
Legitimately. It's an actual museum collection they have at their place.
It is the best microphone collection in the world. Almost as good as mine. But
that was a good time.
Yes. And we had a great time with Wes, and he was fun to talk to. And he'll tell us things about microphones that you really should know. Mm-hmm. And also... Have you set up the spreadsheet for the end of the year show?
No, I got to do that. Man, I got a long to-do list here. I got to get to work.
Yeah. So if we want to pick your favorite moments from 2013 on EWABS. And we did this last year. It was a lot of fun. We took all the best stuff of EWABS. What's been your favorite stuff this year? It could be educational, it could be just funny. I think Mimi the Pig is going to make it.
Oh gosh, no doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, that's got to be in there, man.
Maybe the pig has to be on there. Yeah, we've wanted to have EJ Daly on the show for a long time, but we got her pig on.
Yeah, close enough.
So, you know, but take your favorite moments from this year, and that's all the way through January, and send them in. If you can give us the time in the show, go back on YouTube and look at the time code on there, and that will help George an awful lot.
Very much, yes. Please make it easy for me, please.
Please, please, please.
I'm going to bring my laptop or my my Mac Mini with me back east for the holidays. So I'll be cutting these together while I'm back home. So, you know, make it easy on me.
All righty. Okay.
I think shall that we wrap it up? All right, let's wrap it up.
Got to thank our sponsors, Harlan, VoiceOver Extra, Edge Studio for all of their help and support and keeping you alive.
feeding my kid, you know, that kind of stuff.
Nothing important.
Nothing important.
and that's going to do it for us this week. So join us next week with Joe Cipriano. Should be a lot of fun. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittem in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Have a great week, everybody. See you next time.
Good night.